This is No Direction's PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage. PaizoCon 2018 seminar coverage was made possible thanks to the support of the Roll for Combat podcast, as well as the dedication of our team of volunteers. Due to possibly questionable language, this panel is rated Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Sorry, Ryan.
Got to roll them in order. Take them as they lie. All right. Well, do what we're going to do. Old school. First of all, thanks for coming to the What's Do With Legendary Games. Who here, if there's anyone, is not familiar with Legendary Games? All right. Well, thank you double for coming. And Legendary Games is a team of guys and gals who are originally Pathfinder freelancers, and we were working on our stuff, and we just figured, you know what, we have more ideas, we have more stuff we want to write. And so back in 2011, we got organized. It's me, Neil Spicer, Greg Vaughn, Quentin Boomer, and Clark Peterson were the original kind of founding members, but since then we've added quite a few.
We've added everybody, pretty much anybody.
It's, you know, we're a team and we work together. We work on royalty, on products that succeed together, we succeed together. Products that succeed less together, we all succeed less together. But more times than not, things succeed well. And we thank all of you for your support for Legendary Games. We thank all the freelancers who kind of work in, you know, buying the team concept and create a lot of great stuff. We started off doing things for the Paizo adventure paths that we had worked on. Our first products were for the Carrying Crown, and we sort of spanned that out into 17 different PDFs, which we eventually kickstarted into our first hardback book, the Gothic Campaign Compendium.
So this contains really all the compiled material that we did as adventure path plugins for the Carrying Crown, and we just called it the Gothic Campaign Compendium.
Which you could use as plugins for Carrying Crown, literally, or for any kind of horror-themed campaign. So you've got complete adventures, you've got monsters, magic items, spells, feats, character options, you've got pre-built NPCs, sometimes villainous ones, sometimes detailed heroes. You also have things that are unique to that particular kind of campaign. So this book has rules for creepy, insanity-causing mythos spellbooks like in Call of Cthulhu, or for mad scientists and, you know, robots and creepy constructs and that sort of thing. Whereas a book like the brand new, ta-da, Forest Kingdom Campaign Compendium is much the same, but for either the Kingmaker Adventure Path or any similar sort of wilderness-themed adventure path, that, you know, so you, again, you've got complete adventures, character options, spells, feats, magic items, monsters, all down the line, plus stuff dealing with tournaments, jousting, and archery, contests like that, as well as more exotic things. You've also got dealing with the Fae, the influence of fairies in the world, making bargains with fairy creatures, and you've got the ready-made sample characters and kingdoms and so on. These are one of the only two in existence. The rest are on a boat somewhere on the way to Seattle.
Yeah, the other one over here is the leather.
This is the fancy version, of which there are only 19 altogether for our Royal Court of the Forest. So this one I'll show to you, but no duchies. But this one here we actually can have. We can pass around if you like.
The backer level for that was the Royal High Court.
The Royal Court of the Forest.
Oh my goodness.
In parentheses, no duchies. So if you guys want to take a look at that, you are welcome to pass that one around. That one is about 430 pages. Also brand new from, that was last spring's Kickstarter. This spring we ran the Pirate Campaign Compendium Kickstarter, and that PDF is out now. The books are, yay, HDMI card?
Yes.
Thank you so very much.
Can you hook us up?
I got the hookup.
You are a hero and a scholar.
Keep continuing.
Yes.
Talk about these.
Before we get to the pirates, one of the things we started doing with the Forest Kingdom Campaign Compendium was making clear plastic minis. So these are by a company called Arknight, and they're, you know, similar in concept, obviously, to your Pathfinder Pawns. They're two-sided, but they're clear plastic. They really show off the colors in a lovely way.
And they're a bit more durable, too. I mean,
yeah.
The pawns that you see today, the thicker cardboard stock, you know, I mean, eventually it can get bent or it can start to erode a bit, but these hold up quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get an eye for the screen here.
What's that?
I'm going to get an eye.
That's quite all right.
I don't know. And we can pass these minis around here. We've also have done them for the Alien Bestia Kickstarter, which we'll talk about in a minute. Got it. And I don't remember for sure if we did them for for the pirate campaign compendium or not. Oh, that's right. There we go. Yay!
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, sir. All right, so there's the basic spiel for what we're doing here. What your game's all about. We already covered that. Legendary team, as Neil said.
Everybody.
Kind of have everybody. And we're getting even more everybody's all the time. What do we do? So as we started off with Adventure Path stuff, and we'll talk some more about the pirate campaign in a minute. We also do stuff for other lines. We started the Legendary Beginnings line, Paris Crenshaw, running adventures and stuff for beginning players, either kids or just people who are new to the hobby. Simplified games you could play with a regular Pathfinder or with the beginner box, and we also do stuff for 5th edition, same concept. We created the Ultimate Plugins line to expand out your kingdom building and mass combat. I had written that chapter for Paizo for Ultimate Campaign, but there was lots more to do with that. And so we built a whole line of products around giving you more and more interesting options for mass combat, for kingdom building, for how to engage with intrigue and politics and the stuff for your characters outside of the campaign. I'm sorry, outside of the dungeon. So you're not just, rich murder hobos, but you actually have an impact on the world where you live. And, of course, we went and fixed the mythic rules. And we fixed them hard. And we fixed them long. We fixed them deep.
We fixed them to the tune of 3 hardcover books.
Yep. And maybe more.
Mythic Monster Manual.
Yep.
Mythic Spell Compendium.
Yep.
And Mythic...
Mythic Heroes Handbook. The Monster Manual and Spell Compendium are here at the show. The Mythic Heroes Handbook is sold out. There are no more of them. But who knows, there could be.
PDF's still out there.
PDF's still available, absolutely. And they also are available on HeroLab. The Gothic Campaign Compendium also available on HeroLab. The Forest Kingdom is in process at HeroLab. I just got an update recently from the guy who's working on it, so it's still in the cycle. But
how many people here use HeroLab? That's kind of something we are interested in kind of seeing how many of folks are using that, because it comes at some effort to include that in some of our pictures and whatnot, so we're
all
kind of curious.
Do you use the Mythic Hero app in our home game? So Joel also is one of the players in my Friday night game, and we are running the Legendary Planet for Pathfinder, which has the Mythic rules embedded in it, so he's able to use those things merged together. And given as complicated as Mythic is, it's nice to be able to have a lot of that stuff taken care of for you. But let's talk for a second about the Pirate Campaign Compendium, because it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's lovely.
Avast.
And there she blows. Avast and yo-ho-ho. It's 500 pages of pirates. I'm sure you can read all of that really quickly. But much like what we said with the Gothic Campaign Compendium and the Forest Kingdom Campaign Compendium, it's all of that and more. So it's
70
archetypes?
70 archetypes?
Archetypes, class features, feats, and traits combined.
You kind of combined it.
Over 100 spells, over 60 magic items, over 47 sea monsters, over 80 ready-to-use NPCs, 5 complete adventures from 4th level to 14th level, simple and advanced ship-to-ship combat rules and fleet battles rules, modular ship design, plus tons of bonus material, navigation, infamy, plunder, peg legs, and eye patches, pretty much everything and anything you would want to be able to run a pirate or nautical themed campaign. Whether you're just using, you're just visiting the sea, or you want to have a whole campaign that's end-to-end set on it, the Pirate Campaign Compendium's got you covered, and the book is, it looks really nice. We don't have any print copies here. There's, you know what, it's like that sometimes, so. But they'll be on the way to Backers First, obviously, but you can pre-order the print and print PDF bundles on our website now. And you can order them on Paizo.com or drive through or Open Gaming Store or any of the places you usually buy your gaming stuff. Forest Campaign, Kingdom Campaign Compendium, we've already hit on that. You can see this one is 432 pages of Forest Fun and all of that great stuff there. You'll be able to see it as it comes around. We're really proud of kind of the books that are put together, not just the other, like the Gothic and the Forest Kingdom and the Pirates, for the products that came before. Because a lot of these, on a certain level, it's a compilation of previously existing products. But there's also a lot of new material. There's a lot of new artwork. And the books are just really a pleasure to read, to use, to look at. But which campaign compendium is coming next? When we did the Forest Kingdom campaign compendium, we actually let our backers vote on which one they wanted to see next. And the one they voted for was the Demon Crusade, Righteous Crusade campaign compendium. And so most likely that's the one that we would hit next. When, we're not entirely certain, because we've got a lot of other projects up in the air, which we'll get to, we may also revisit the Gothic campaign compendium here for two reasons. One, we've released a fair amount of additional horror material, specifically with a mythos flair to it, for Pathfinder, but also our 5e fans have been clamoring, hey, when can we get this for 5th edition? And a lot of the individual products here are available for 5e. So this actually is something we could probably finish up more quickly. So we may revisit this as both a additional supplement for people who missed the campaign, the Gothic book the first time around, plus the new horror supplement for it for Pathfinder, and then like a full compilation of both those together for 5th edition. So we're still debating which of those we'll go with first. Neil has written stuff for both of those with his richly developed Heroes character series. But do you have a preference? Which one would you rather see us do first?
Well, this would be easier and quicker to get out the door, I think. So that would probably then set us up nicely to focus all of our attention on the Demon Crusade campaign. Mm-hmm.
And that is something we're really working on doing. I'm going to talk about some stuff later on. I am, dividing some of the stuff that we're working on, but talking about Kickstarters, what Kickstarter are we going to do next? Well, the next Pathfinder one we probably do will be Mythic Mania 2. So we're going to finish up this whole Mythic thing. We talked to our backers. So our backers said, yeah, you know what? I actually would like to have sort of finish my Mythic collection. And so we're planning this for fall of 2018, and it will be two books. One book of monsters, so the Mythic Monster Manual 2 probably, or the Mythic Creature Compendium or something like that, and the Advanced Mythic Guide, which will contain your spells, your feats, your class features, basically from the Advanced Class Guide forward, up to and probably at that point including Planar Adventures. And that's where we'll kind of wind things up, put a bow on and say, congratulations, the Mythic project is now complete. This one will be a Pathfinder-only project. It's possible at some point we may do another monster book for the 5th edition fans, but we're not going to bundle it together as part of this project. And people seem to be intrigued and interested to go and do it. So again, a lot of this work is already done. So, and I have people who are working on the project right now. Freelancers have been, kind of grinding through the remaining pile of stuff here. So
the Advanced Mythic Guide concept is to bring in stuff that we didn't get in the previous one. So new books that came out like Ultimate Intrigue, Ultimate Lores, Horror Adventures, Occult Adventures, those would get woven in as well.
Mm-hmm. And we might do some stretch goal bonus things to bring in some stuff from the soft covers or stuff from other parallel books, things like Monster Codex or bonus content from other books like that. So that is on our agenda for this fall. But speaking of projects we want to get done, there's that Alien Bestiary Companion. So that also is available now. Again, I thought I would have copies of that here at the show, and it's possible they could arrive in the mail today. And if they do, I'll have them tomorrow.
At the store.
So they're coming through the U.S. mail, so if they don't come tomorrow or today, then we're pretty much out of luck. But this book is 320-some-odd pages of sci-fi and space-themed monsters, as well as technological traps and hazards. It's got special appendices or bonus rules for dealing with space-type settings, zero gravity, vacuum, and dealing with aliens in a Pathfinder context. Now, this is part of a bigger project. The Alien Bestiary project was something we launched last fall. And it's three books for three systems. So Neil has permission to shoot me if I ever suggest doing this again. He probably already told me not to do it, and I just ignored him because I'm like that sometimes. But the Pathfinder version of this book is out. The backers are already getting their copies now. We've got some coming to PosmCon. The Starfinder version is in layout now. The 5th edition will go into layout after that. And this book, really, at its heart, though, is core. It's a monster book. It's a straight-up monsters from one end to the other. Book 2 is the debut of the cover, the Alien Codex. And, again, all three systems, The Alien Codex is basically a combination of the Monster Codex, the NPC Codex, and the Advanced Race Guide for alien races. So you've got information on playable alien races, you've got information on, you've got sample NPCs, sample stat blocks across all levels for each race. Some of them have a few, some of them have a lot. So it kind of depends on what the various authors have done. And so it brings together a ready resource for you to be able to give to players if they want to play a wide variety of alien types, but also give them a great resource for, or you as a GM resource, a great ability to pull out NPCs to drop a hat and have all kinds of them available to you.
The alien species we introduced in Legendary Planet, do those fall in this or
yes,
in the prior
book? They are in this book here, as well as are the alien races from the Ithera setting, the Okanta and the Phalanx and the Infused and the, Arathi. So they'll be in there, the Trathari, the Svar, the Autane, and the Quarians from Legendary Planet. There are some new alien races here. There are some traditional Pathfinder races that are being made into, you know, alienized races like, you know, lizard folk, and so it's broken out into chapters, which are based by kinds. You've got plant species, you've got reptilian species, you've got kind of animalistic species, and you've got, you know, your traditional legacy races. You have villainous races, aquatic races. So it's all set up. So it's done by chunk. And this actually, the Pathfinder version is starting layout now. The Starfinder version is in conversion now as well. So this also will have our iconic heroes. So your heroes from the Etheric heroes and the Planetary heroes will be found in this book here. Many of them with multiple level versions of them. So much like you'd be able to kind of pull those out, they'll be ready to go. There's a third book of the series, though, the Ithera Field Guide. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So my name is Carlos. I was actually one of the freelancers on the Ithera Field Guide project. And this is basically what the Bestiary series of books is going to be for the Ithera setting. And it's going with the sort of field guide kind of angle that we took with it. It's sort of like if you want to know what the most common creatures that you would face when traveling from system to system, it's a very sort of like, I guess, National Geographic kind of feel as far as space goes.
Kind of ecology of the...
Yeah, ecology of the system. And I did 5 of the monsters in the book. Can I go into much detail about those?
You can go into much detail as you like.
So
I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Yeah. So
these are some of the creatures that you'll find: the glowtail mouse, the this is one of the paragons, the ethereal filcher, the sandworm skate, succulander, and mirage jellyfish, I think.
Yep. Some of the artwork I've seen is really, really good for this. That's come back from the artists. I did 3 monsters in the Amerita asteroid belts.
Right.
There was the alloy worm, which is an acidic worm that ignores hardness and DR, and it also comes in a swarm version. And one of its abilities allows it to blend into its surroundings based upon the latest mineral or metal that it recently consumed. So it has special properties based upon where you actually find it in that part of the space. Then there was the roaming thistle, which is on the desert world of Akasat. Is basically the tumbleweed version of the Assassin's Bend. So, you know, Sandstorm kicks up, you might have some of those blow your way. And the last one was the parapet and the ore lizard, which were sort of Amerita asteroid belts, natural creatures, one that leaves the ore lizard deep in the asteroid, the larger rocks of the asteroids, that has a radioactive ore attached to its body. And that can splinter off inside of you and has to be removed as sort of like a radioactive thorn, almost. And then the parapet is a little animal companion that you can have that can sniff out aetherite for you for mining operations.
So the creatures you'll find in here, it's a lot more like, you know, comparatively speaking, you know, less like a Paizo Bestiary, much more like the sort of things you get in an Adventure Path Bestiary at the very least, and even more so of that, even more of your lore, even more of kind of what is the environment like that they come in. So this book, Robert Brooks, for whom I wore a little suit here in his honor, but then I got hot, so I took the jacket off. But you just have to envision it. He says I should have the manuscript for this developed and back in my hands by the end of May. And once we get it back, Liz is ready to jump on the layout for it. So this book should be available in Pathfinder, definitely in June. And mechanics-wise, you know, it's not nearly as much to convert as the Bastiaire stuff. So hopefully the turnaround won't be that long before we are able to get both the Starfinder and the 5th edition versions out as well. And that will make my heart very happy, because my job right now is to get all of our old projects out the door. Looking back, and speaking of old projects, we want to talk a little bit about our one-player adventure series. So Matt Goodall and Michael Allen are working on this. This is the first adventure in the series, and these are one-on-one adventures, one player, one GM. So if you are somebody who sometimes has trouble rustling up a game, this is great and fun adventure series. It's set kind of parallel to the Curse of the Crimson Throne AP, very similar environment. It doesn't necessarily advance the story of that, but you can play it along with it. There are notes in there you could on how to play it with a small group of adventurers rather than one-on-one, so it's suitable for both ways. But it's designed intentionally to be something you can play just one-on-one. It's also a good learning opportunity for something if you're dealing with, excuse me, somebody you think is a little beyond the idea of the Legendary Beginnings series. It's a good way to sort of have a close hands-on experience teaching someone how to game, just, again, in a one-on-one setting. The first two adventures are out. We have, I believe, some of these at the store, although I kind of picked up some of them earlier, so they might be gone. First two are Orphans of the Hangman and the Smuggler Seal, and then Spinning Secrets is supposed to be coming in September, summer of 2018. So if you are interested in that sort of thing, please do check them out. Check out our website, and we will get them to you. Let's talk Legendary Planet. This is Neil's baby, and it's beautiful. It's wonderful. The first 6 adventures plus prequel are done for Pathfinder and 5th edition. The first 3 adventures are done for Starfinder, each one of them over 100 pages of adventure, bestiaries, treasures, gazetteers, fiction, backup articles, all kinds of wonderful things. That last one is not quite done yet. Neil, anything you want to add?
I need to get on that author for chapter 7 for the last one.
Clearly a slacker. But the Deadfall Descent, this is the one most recently out for Starfinder, and we have copies of this at the dealer room. So this one is, how would you describe the events of Deadfall Descent?
So Deadfall Descent kicks off with a situation where the player characters are still trying to find their way home to their original planet, and the gate that would have taken them there has been destroyed. So in Chapter 2, which immediately precedes this one, they just came by way of the Scavenge Codex, which is a potential that can help map their way back home through other gates and hopping across different worlds maybe to get there. But still, they have to go and get some additional information from this planet that is where the Dead Vaults are contained. So the Dead Vault is a Dead Vault world is a highly locked planet. So it's super heated on one side and super cold on the other. And the population, when the planet stopped its rotation to survive, went underground predominantly, and either converted themselves into undead or had sentient constructs that were created to house them. And so the PCs kind of find their way to this world and have to navigate a bit of politics between all those different factions on the planet in order to reclaim some technology from the ancients long ago that first created these worlds. And
which then leads you to the next one, Confederates of the Shattered Zone, which is what our Legendary Planet special, starting in half an hour, is drawn from.
That's right.
And this is basically an asteroid mining colony full of pollution and industry and cybernetic space Nazis. And nothing's quite as satisfying as gunning down cybernetic space Nazis.
Written by Richard Peck.
Yeah, and it is very Richard Petty. The next one in the series by Steve Helt, who unfortunately was not able to join us this year, is The Depths of Desperation. So my guess, it's an aquatic adventure in large part. And things are bad all over, and they only get worse. And it's probably all your fault.
Anglerfish Hydra.
Yeah, I love the art of that one. The most recent, the penultimate adventure, The Mind Tyrants of the Merciless Moons by Tim Hitchcock, which is still my favorite of all the titles because it just it feels very pulpy. The creatures you see here are the Atoth, which, let's just say you don't want to teleport near them. It's really bad. This one involves a gas giant full of, merciless moons. The moons are out there orbiting around there, and you've got evil factions. The previous adventure, you're dealing with an invasion by the bad guys. This one, you're kind of trying to turn the tables and take the fight to them.
Taking the fight to them. This gas giant and its merciless moon is kind of the staging area for an invasion force. So the PCs actually, after winning in the depths of desperation, are able to turn the tables and
fight. And of course, things go terribly wrong. Some things you want to do. And here is how we're going to kill a star from the inside out. I will promise you this. The climax of Kill a Star will not be a battle against the evil emperor in the evil emperor's throne room of the party dogpiling on one big bad evil guy. No. But it will be terrifying and it will be lovely, and I think you'll dig it. I got tons of stat blocks built. I've got some maps gradually growing. I've been revising the maps a lot, but the progress is moving, just not as fast as it should. But art previews. And this is the art for the cover of the companion version, which will be out once the final adventure is done. It's by Ralph Horsley, a lovely British man who's done several more covers before. We're also making other stuff for the legendary planet sort of milieu, and that's the Legendary World series. Now, some of these are available in the dealer room, and the ones there are all for Starfinder, but we also have them for Pathfinder 5th edition. And this product line is really about drop-in planets. People on the spaceship, they go to a planet, shoot, what am I going to do? You drop them right in there, and you tell them what they're going to do. Each one of these books is about 20 pages long. It's got history, it's got ecology, it's what the planet's like. Why would anybody want to go there? Dear God, what is that thing? You've got new monsters, often a new playable race, some sort of new bonus material, and you've got adventure hooks, which kind of brings it all together. So each one of these, they're on sale out there, like $9.99. You can get them in PDF for $4.99, maybe even $3.99 for some of them. But if you're ever adventuring out in space and you just want to say, here we go, it's ready-made, easy to play with, and easy to do. So I heartily encourage you to check them out.
And really, between these products, each one a different planet, and the gazetteer section that's mm-hmm. in each chapter of the Legendary Planet Adventure Path, we're slowly stacking together the essence of what would be a campaign set. You're getting more and more of what the Legendary Worlds campaign setting would look like.
So this one down here in the corner, Legendary Worlds Melophony, is written by Joel Flank here. Joel, do you want to say anything about the writing your planet?
I tried to make it sandboxy enough with lots of different factions and sub-factions within them that lots of different play styles would work. I built it so that it would work really well with any of the systems, really. There's definitely sci-fi elements with spaceships and lasers, but a lot of it is not quite starfaring, so you can work it with Pathfinder or 5th edition pretty easily as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the sci-fi train, the Etheric campaign setting and the Etheric Heroes book are still out there. We thought, again, we'd have the first Etheric adventure here. We are demoing it here. Scott Young is running a session of Wanted in the Wastes, which is what the illustration at the top there is. It's a first-world adventure that introduces you to the Etheric setting. And there are also additional adventures to come later on. Beacon of the Black, Children of the Collapse, Murder of the Midlands. Progress on Etheric has been slower than expected. Robert Brooks, who kind of runs that department, he's had a big increase in his day job. And he's had other demands on his time where he just has not been able to turn things over as fast as he would like. But that's kind of life when you're doing it part time. But the Legendary Games is my full time job, but it's not anybody else's full time job. And so things kind of take as long as they take in the third party business. And so one of the ways is the main script is done. We are waiting on art, and we're waiting on some maps and some final development tweaks from Robert. So once we get that, we will be able to turn that around pretty quickly. So hopefully that will be coming next month. We certainly hope to have it ready to have in time for Gen Con, at the very least. And the adventures to follow, we'll kind of see how fast those get out. But right now, as far as Ethera goes, the Ethereal Field Guide, and one of the ways should be out pretty soon. I've gotten a few questions from people online, like, what's going on with Ethereum? Well, that's where our status is. As far as some of the bigger projects that were planned, the Intrigue book and the EtherTech manual, those are kind of on a hiatus for now. Some of that was, you know, we had planned a lot of books prior to Starfinder being announced. And then when Starfinder came out, it's like, all right, well, do we still want to do all the books we originally planned to do? And so some of that's still, you know, in the mill, under consideration. So we will see how all of that shakes out. But definitely we're getting on the adventures and the Ethereum Field Guide. And we'll kind of see how the rest of the stuff goes along. One last thing in our kind of backwards and forward directions, legendary classes. We've been doing a lot of these. Have been very popular here. Some of the more recent releases, these are class, often class redesigns from the ground up. Sometimes they're great class enhancements that bring you a lot of feats, options, prestige classes. A lot of new takes on existing class abilities. The more recent ones we've come out with have been the legendary brawlers, gunslingers, fighters, and shifters. Shifters, we sensed a lot of dissatisfaction with how they came out in Ultimate Wilderness. And so we said, you know what? We've got some ideas for what to do. And so we made our own version of the legendary shifter. Coming soon, Cavaliers and Barbarians are in development right now. And Legendary Races Warm Touched is done. It will be out next Friday. It's actually done now, but we already got some big releases this weekend. Legendary Shifters, I just wanted to show you the awesome Shark Man. Legendary Fighters and Legendary Races Worm Touched. It's an entirely new playable race. It's the first one of these that we've done as its own full-size book. It's 40-plus pages. What goes into a races book like that? Well, all the stuff you could possibly want to know about this race is sort of like an extended version of what you'd get in the advanced race guide. Plus a sample character that's ready to go using some of the new options in the book. This is by N'Jali and Siobhan Borkness and Amber Underwood and Warren C. And so that one will be out on next Friday. And we'll be happy to have you buy it. Before we go on to new projects for 2018, any questions?
I actually had one for
the... Hold on a sec. Yeah. In the back.
So you already mentioned that you had stuff in line and then stuff on your plane out.
Yep.
So of course, the playtest happening and tuning coming out. How is that going to affect things?
Good question. So she was asking this, what are we going to do about Pathfinder 1 versus Pathfinder 2? And the answer is, we'll make stuff for both. We, you know, having kind of seen the way that editions come and go, we foresee that some people will immediately jump over and start playing Pathfinder 2. Some will say never and stick with Pathfinder 1. Some will hold out for a while and then switch over. Our basic thought is, hey, as long as people want to buy it, we'll make it. And we will let sales be our guide. If it turns out that people abandon ship en masse and nobody's buying Pathfinder 1 stuff, then we'll probably stop making it. If people still seem to, you know, be showing suitable support, then we'll keep making it. One of the beauties of being a third-party publisher is that, you know, if you know what you're doing, there's no reason you can't make things for multiple systems, and you don't have to sell, you know, 1,000 copies of something to be a success. Yeah. If I sell, you know, 100 copies of something, I probably made back what I spent on it. You know, if I sell 200 copies of something, then that's probably a solid hit. If I sell 1,000 copies, that's, you know, hallelujah celebration. And so the beauty of the internet, the beauty of the gaming market is you can make contact with whomever is interested in whatever it is you're interested in making. So long story short, as long as we see sufficient, you know, market demand for Pathfinder 1 stuff, we'll keep making it. A lot of stuff we may make for both. Something like the Mythic Mania 2, that's going to be explicitly a Pathfinder 1 project. For things like, you know, Legendary Planet, would we redo it for Pathfinder 2? We might. Other projects that we do going forward, we'll probably do for both. We'll kind of have to wait and see how it all goes down. Carlos, got a question?
For the Legendary Planet series, I love me some Mythic rules.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk more about how that gets integrated in the adventure path itself?
So it's baked in from the beginning. And one of the ways that we use it is, you know, I'm an old-school, you know, Gygaxian naturalist when it comes to how you approach the ecology of a world. And so the first question I would have if you travel from planet to planet is, how do you breathe? How do you talk to anybody? So on and so forth. one of the first kind of cheats we do on that New Legendary Planet is...
It was inspired.
Right. It was an inspired cheat. There aren't really spaceships, per se, in the Legendary Planet's implied setting.
And that was purposeful, because spaceships can sometimes slow down the play, the interaction, if one doesn't have a ball.
We want it to be about the exotic worlds themselves.
We travel more Stargate.
So. Right. And when you go through the Stargate, your mythic power adapts you to wherever you are in your new place. So now you can breathe there, and now you can talk to the locals there.
We took your first mythic feat that you get when you become mythic, and instead of allowing you to choose what that would be, we dictated what it would be. It's called mythic morphic nature.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're now a mythic character, as you pass through the gates in our campaign setting through between these worlds, those gates that the ancients built long ago interact with your mythic nature, and we tailor your physiology or whatever is necessary for you to adapt to the environment of the planet, and very John Carter of Mars kind of way, you pick up the local language without having to go resolve the linguistics, you know, skill ranks to pick something up. And that allows us to make the applicability of the common language stretch across all those mm-hmm. planes.
And so you get to go there and start adventuring right away and not worry about how am I going to not die in the next 10 minutes. And so it is built in there. There are mythic encounters. There are mythic monsters. There are certain scenarios and situations that, you know, involve mythic power, or that you can assist by with mythic power. And some of it is just, you know, you've got your mythic characters doing what they do.
Now, one other thing we did in order to ratchet back maybe a little bit the mythic, mm-hmm. we're not going full-blown 10 mythic tiers.
Yeah. You only get to mythic 6, I think, in the last adventure. Four?
To be 4.
Okay.
Unless you're writing something new in chapter 7.
No, I hadn't. I thought it went to the 6.
It was for originally we talked about going to 6, because when you get to 6, it opens a new grouping of mythic abilities. And so we wanted to be able to potentially do that, but when we looked at the amount of levels and the amount of adventuring you need to go through, and just tamping down the power levels a little bit to it, so it doesn't become, last job, rocket tag, basically. Mm-hmm. And whoever wins initiative is going to win kind of situation. We wanted to keep it a little bit more down into mythic rank 4, which is where we go with it. And there's a particular mythic ability that we were looking to get invoked by mythic 4 in the storyline, so that's why we stuck to it.
All right, and I heartily encourage you to pick up Mythic Solutions from Legendary Games, which is the same as the last chapter in the appendix in the Mythic Heroes Handbook, which fixes Mythic. Well, fixes almost all of it. The really troublesome part. There are still interactions. The fact that you can get full attacks so much more easily when you use the Mythic system, that changes a lot of things. Anyway, there's always rules interactions. There's always ways to break the game. That's right.
You know, we've also done a lot with mythic monsters. You can go by the dealer's table and you'll see there's a whole product line along that, which Jason hadn't touched on too much in the presentation so far. But we do leverage mythic monsters a bit in the adventure path to sort of make sure that we're presenting decent challenges to the mythic.
All right. We have a couple of new things to show you. So, new thing number one, colonization, civilization, and war in Starfinder with Star Empires. That's our new product line that we are launching, hopefully starting next month. The first manuscript is in. It does need some tender loving care. The art's still coming in for it. But this line will include nation building, government intrigue, exploration and colonization, sci-fi, mass combat, space battle, you can read that there. The long and short of it is, at its heart, this is much like your kingdom building rules and your mass combat rules from Pathfinder, or Redux 5th edition, kind of rebuilt from the ground up to be suitable for use with Starfinder and to address the issues that Starfinder deals with. So, first product of the line, like I said, will be out next month, and it's going to gradually build out all those different aspects of it. And some of our sample art for it is here. It's kind of like the sci-fi arena there. But it's really kind of bringing that idea, same as we have with trying to make your characters be something other than murder hobos. In this case, we want your fake characters to be something other than space murder hobos. So, it's all well and good to fly around in your space freighter and blow up monsters. But if you want to engage and become someone important in the civilization in the space world, then this is going to be your resource, your product line. Go and do it. So, that's our first kind of new endeavor. Second is card games. We have started partnering with a company called Mythica Games, Jimmy Sanders, guy we met up with at Gen Con last year. We watched him demo a new game that he was working on, Legends of Draxia, and that is available now at the Pathfinder, the Paizo dealer room there. You can also get on our website. And Legends of Draxia is a fantasy-themed resource management card game. I had we had set up to have a person come out and do demos of the card game, and unfortunately, they ended up not being able to come. So we were going to have demos set up, and they found out very late, a little late to get a replacement demo person. So I have seen the game, and it is a lot of fun. I watched it played. I sat down kind of at the end of a game, so I haven't only played it a little myself, so I unfortunately cannot demo it myself.
But there are copies of it in the deal.
Yep. The base game is $25. There's on a separate version with a deluxe playmat inside, which is $40. And they've been demoing it at cons for the last year and really building it out and getting a really good response from it. We really wanted to start getting some things together that were uniquely ours. Because it's all going good to say, hey, our legendary games, we make stuff for Pathfinder, for D&D. But at the same point, we say, hey, we make Legends of Draxium. And we make Fates of Madness. This is our own new card game that we're doing with Mythica Gaming. And this, as you might guess, is a horror-themed RPG card game. And this one is going to actually be launching as a Kickstarter this summer. I am not going to be directly involved in it. Rachel Ventura, my business director, will be managing the Kickstarter because I've got lots of other stuff to do. So not to worry, I'll be grinding away on
Chapter 7 of
on To Kill a Star and getting the Alien Bestiary, getting all that stuff out the door. I will be watching, kind of peeking in every couple of days, like, how's it going? Good. Keep on. Good job. But I actually have a little video to show you. All right, where's my video? Not you. You. Yeah, come on. Where'd it go? Here it is. It's not a video. What? Squint. Both of these are kind of fast play, you know, adventure type card games, which you can do in like half an hour to an hour. And I think that you will enjoy them. And I hope you at least check out the Fates of Madness Kickstarter when it launches, I believe, next month. So keep it on the Legendary Games website, and it will show you all there is to see. Moment. Come on. Come on. Somewhat technologically challenged, unfortunately. There it is. Okay. But that kind of breaks down what the game is all about. And this one, I think the market price is also $20. I think it's $20 for this one. But yeah, anyway, check when the Kickstarter comes out. And please support the new venture. We're excited to kind of see where it goes and see what the response is as far as getting the card games out. We have one more big project coming up, and that is Ashes of Empire Adventure Path. Empires rise, empires fall. Rise from the ashes of the last. So what is the song about? Right? It's about a necromancer legacy. So Greg Vaughn was one of our original partners here at Legendary Games. And he's been working for Frog God Games for the last 8 or 10 years, pulling together the catalog from Necromancer Games, which is the company run by Clark Peterson, who helped found get set up with Legendary Games here. He eventually sort of let Necromancer Games go. He's a judge in real life, so he basically got busy with real life and moved over there. And Necromancer evolved and became Frog God. Greg's been working over there, bringing together all these disparate products that Necromancer released back in the day, building out this incredibly detailed campaign setting. And he had this great idea for building up a whole adventure path around it. And Greg is, like I said, one of the original founding partners of LJ, wanted to publish it. He sort of moved on from working with Frog God, and he said, what better place to launch it than with Legendary Games? So, the Ashes of Empire Adventure Saga is already in process, already being written. Some of the chapters are already done. The first chapter he turned into me was 90,000 words. Greg just can't stop writing. It actually was a chapter done by somebody else. He said, I like what was there, but I wanted to do some more things. So he basically wrote a whole other adventure on top of it and merged the two of them together. The AP book chapter, there are six chapters, and most of them by people who are already familiar to fans of Legendary Games. Alistair Rigg wrote the kickoff adventure here. Jeff Swank, who, I was going to see if he'd come over here and talk a little about it, wrote the second, The Ebon Soul. If you know anything about Greg Vaughn's adventure, there's a reason why he's written, you know, more Paizo AP adventure than anybody else, because he's meticulously detailed and somewhat just fanatic about lore and working all that in. If you're a fan of Frog God, The Lost Lands, then you'll love all the little world bits in there. If you don't know The Lost Lands from Hole in the Ground, that's okay. You can still enjoy an incredibly richly detailed and thoroughly developed campaign setting and adventure saga. It moves on to Matt Goodall, one of our longtime people, Legendary, and Steve Held, same. They do Adventures 3 and 4 in the saga. And again, this is a project that Greg is managing, so this is not going to take any of my bandwidth to work on. I love to bring more projects in. I don't have to do so much of the heavy lifting on. Then Tom Knaus and Anthony Pryor bringing in the final two adventures in the saga. So adventure number 4 or 5, I forget which one is already in. The others are all in progress. Gotcha. Thanks, Leslie. It's something we're really looking forward to doing, but that does bring up a question. Wait a minute. What about Conquest Rage of Worms that we announced last year? Well, we're still doing it. But next year. And to answer your question, that's when we probably will do natively to Pathfinder 2nd Edition. So we just figured, you know what? We didn't get a chance to work on it, you know, last year that we thought we would. By the time we were getting ready to gear back up, oh, it's Pathfinder 2. Probably not a good time to just go and do a whole Pathfinder 1 adventure path. So, figured it made the more sense to kick it down for another year, make sure we knock out all the projects that we already have, so we'll be able to turn to it with our full intention. So, we are still 100% down for the cause of Dragonville, and Conquest Rage of Worms will be on our agenda for 2019. But, that happens. You are flexible when you adjust. So, my long-suffering projects, Fort Scurvy got done this year. Royal Tournaments got done this year, leaving only one of the Unholy Trinity left. Ultimate Armies. One of these days it will get done. Yeah. That's the swag from last year. It's still there. I haven't worked on it since last year. I got nothing. But the other two got done. Fort Scurvy got done, and Royal Tournaments got done. So I'm just calling that a win. 2 out of 3. We have gotten the time sign. The other thing I will tell you is PaizoCon sale. Check out our table in the deal room. Almost everything's about 25% off. Email us after the show if you want, free PDFs. And right now, through the 31st of May, 40% off almost everything on the Legendary Games web store. Enter the coupon code PaizoCon40. We'll go ahead and we'll post up the PowerPoint on our website whenever I'm able to get around to it, which may not end up being until after PaizoCon. But any last questions here before we thank you again, and they kick us out. Yes, but
For the Ashes adventure path, what's the level range on that?
I would have to talk to Greg to get for sure. My guess is 1st to like probably 17th or so. I don't know if it goes all the way to 20th. I have to double check. It's long enough that it probably goes all the way to 20th.
If he's written 90,000 words for one adventure, it might go farther than 17th.
He says it's he says the other adventures are only going to be about half of that, but I'll believe it when I see it.
That's about a whole other adventure, and if you do 7 chapters like you did with Legendary Planet, you get 20.
So. By comparison, like a Paizo AP adventure, that's usually the adventure part is about 35,000 words. So 90,000 words of adventure, that's 2.5 AP chapters. Yeah, your question.
So you mentioned the parallel content that you
yes.
do, and do you have any plans to do RealmWorks content as well?
To do what
content?
RealmWorks, yes. We do have stuff that's in the queue, that's been in the queue at RealmWorks, and that, unfortunately, is something I can't really speak to their process or how things get moved. Hero Lab is from the publisher side, very frustrating to work with, and things kind of take as long as they take. Right now, you get the Goth Campaign Compendium and the Mythic Compendium. The Forest Kingdom Campaign Compendium is in the works. And as far as what more comes through Hero Lab, we've got other stuff that's in the queue there. It's been in the queue. And it's why we don't actually anymore offer Hero Lab as part of Kickstarters, because we can't control their process to be able to deliver. And we don't want to sell something to somebody that we don't know that we can actually
give. Which, again, was why I was curious how many of you are using Hero Lab.
Yeah. We are happy to provide it, and a lot of people really love it, and I'd love to provide more, but their kind of system architecture is what it is. And so, I think they sort of have outgrown what the original system was designed to do, and it's just kind of hard for them to catch up. I know they've been trying. They've been working on a lot of stuff. The stuff's in the pile somewhere in the system. So at some point, Realmwork stuff will be available, but I couldn't tell you when. Wish I had better news. Anything else? Well, thank you all very much for coming, and please spread the good word of Legendary Games. Go buy some stuff.
Go forth and be legendary.
Thank you for joining us for another PaizoCon 2018 seminar recording. Special thanks to the KD Con team, including Justin Sluder, Ryan Hiller, Stephen Glicker, and the entire Roll for Combat crew. No Direction's PaizoCon coverage would not be possible without their tireless effort. To find this and other great Pathfinder podcasts, visit nodirectionpodcast.com.